All right, and with that, I will call the July meeting of the Zone 3 Advisory Committee to order, and we'll start with a roll call.
Member King?
Here.
Member Guthrie?
Here.
Member Lee?
Here.
Member Talley?
Here.
Member Hill?
Here.
And absent is Member Gehring.
That's correct. All right. With that, I'll open it up to public comments. Do we have anyone from the public that would like to talk about anything that's not on our agenda? It doesn't look like it. So next order of business is officer rotations. And at this point, I and Vard Aketa have been the chairman of this committee for a year, and it's the practice for us to rotate that every 12 months. And so at this point, Jim Gehring, who is the vice chair, would come into this position as chairman, but Jim is absent tonight. So it's my understanding that the alternate is actually the representative from Arroyo Grande, and that is Jim Hill. And so Jim is going to switch seats with me and sit here now. There you go.
So to be perfectly clear, the new chairman will be Jim Gehring, who is the member at large, and the vice chair will be the city of Arroyo Grande. And because the chairman's not here, the vice chair will chair.
And is there a need for a motion on that, or is that just procedural?
Nope, it's just procedural.
Okay, well, I want to thank Brian for your service. One of our officers, we appreciate your service and commitment to Zone 3. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
Next item of business, then, is the approval of meeting minutes of May 17th.
So in your agenda packets, you should have the meeting minutes. Are there any comments, edits, anything you would like to...
I was not at the meeting, and I'll recuse myself from the minutes. However, I believe we have a quorum remaining that can approve the minutes.
Yes.
I will move approval.
And I will second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
One recused. Any opposed? That passes. Four to one recused and one absent. Moving on to the operations report, Ms. Ugrin.
All right. So today's, what I'm going to give you is today's information on the reservoir. The lake elevation today was 487.41. That equates to a storage of 23,499 acre-feet and a capacity of 47.6%. Rainfall to date, zero. Plant production is 5.5 million gallons per day. State water is at 0.7 million gallons per day. And downstream releases are at 4.3 million gallons per day. I lied. I believe that's actually 4.3 CFS. That is not millions of gallons, although they can be relatively close. I'm not clear on that. I'll have to get back if you want that further information. Okay. Let's see. Projected reservoir levels. Moving on, unless anybody has a question about what I just read off.
Okay. I will point out that it did actually rain today.
It did sprinkle, but I don't have those numbers.
Right.
It's probably immeasurable, is what I'm guessing.
I don't think it was measurable.
I don't think it was measurable. We'll take all we can get.
Yeah. Let's see. Projected reservoir levels. So if you look in your agenda packet, on page 8, you'll see a chart there that shows our Lopez reservoir storage projection. And... let's see, what do we have? You can see that what we've done, we've changed the graph just slightly, and that is the green line, the thick green line, shows actual storage, The orange line is what we're projecting. And the reason we're continuing why they slightly overlap is because we're kind of measuring how well our projections are so that we will see over time how close we are with our new sort of method that we are using to project rainfall and its effect on the reservoir.
It's a little disconcerting that the green line is now just barely going under the orange line on mine.
Yes. Yeah. So it means we're close with our projection, but it's not, we're not off. It'd be really bad if the green was way below the orange.
Right.
Let's see. So it looks like they're projecting, if you look at the blue lines at the bottom right corner, those lines depict the amount of rainfall that is projected over the next, until next March. And if you add all those up, it's about average and or slightly below. So that's what we've got going so far.
Can I ask a quick question?
Absolutely.
What is the... What data are you using to estimate the rainfall? Is it average at that time of year, or is it hard data that you've looked at what they're projecting? I'm just curious.
Right. So and I'm assuming you're referring to the blue lines at
yes,
the bottom.
Yes. Sorry.
Right. So those actually come from a website called longrangeweather.com. It's down there in the notes. They're one of the few. There's only actually one website that we've found that will actually project rainfall on a monthly basis. And so they get their data probably from NOAA, and they have some kind of algorithm that projects what that rainfall would be.
Do you have an accuracy rate on their website? Do you know?
I don't know. I haven't visited
curious.
It.
I'm just curious. This looks good.
Right. Yeah, let's hope that they're right. And that was sort of what caught me when I started doing this. I thought, well, we actually don't know if this is accurate because our green line turns into the orange line. And so I thought, we should actually be tracking that. So anyways, we'll more to come on that. But we've been using that longrangeweather.com for the last 4 years, ever since we started this this chart to help us predict the level of the reservoir. But you can see that if the rainfall is accurate, as well as our modeling to show what impact rainfall has on the reservoir, that we could potentially be back down in the 20,000 acre foot mark somewhere, maybe next summer, maybe late summer. So that's a real possibility to be back down in that range where we might need to enter back into the low reservoir response plan.
So actually that leads to my question, which is, so the orange line is with this rainfall.
Yes.
And so, because like in the green line, there's the I'll call it the March almost 8 inches of rain, and you can see the bump. And so basically the rainfall that we get this upcoming year is not going to, from this graph, is not going to replenish the reservoir. It's basically going to keep the reservoir not dropping any faster than use.
Okay. That's correct. With
as
we refined what we did is we refined our storage projection. We looked at all the months that we've had data out at the Lopez Dam, and every time that it rained, say 2 inches in a month, we recorded what the new inflow into the reservoir was, and we did this over the whole period of time for 2 inches, 3 inches, 4 inches, so that we use that as our model. And what we found in looking at that data is that in order for there to be like a little jump in the data, you know, in the reservoir, it takes upwards of 6 to 7 inches to really get, you know, that significant jump that you see where the reservoir actually increases significantly in storage. And some of that has to do with what we call antecedent moisture content. When do you get the rain? You know, when you get rain of that magnitude after already having had some rain, your soil is already saturated. So when you do get that rain, you actually see some results from it. So that's why we're interested to see on our projections how we're doing with this new, kind of our new method.
Every projection is a guess, but we're going to hold them to this as a minimum.
Yeah, let's hope we're wrong exactly, and that we're going to be much higher. The next item under operations report is the May and June monthly operations report, which are on pages 9 and 10 of your packet. And that basically shows you the total water delivered, which includes state water in the far right column at the bottom. So in May, our total deliveries for that month were 483.4 acre feet, and in June that number was 514.81 acre feet. Our stored state water has gone down somewhat. We had several people who take state water started taking state water again, as opposed to only using their Lopez entitlement. So we've made a little dent in the stored state water. And other than that, there isn't really anything real notable about these, about what you see here. Everybody is still using their entitlement, and they have not, you have to use your entitlement first before you head into surplus water. So we're still early on in the year, and so I would not expect anybody to be using surplus yet. Any questions regarding that data? All right.
Okay. Thank you. Then moving to information items and starting with the climate update.
So, Andrea, who is usually in this position, is your weather person. She did include in your packets the her usual handouts regarding from the U.S. Drought Monitor, and I gave them a quick look, as you probably did as well. And what I noticed was in the U.S. Drought Monitor that compared to last July in 2017, looking to now in July 2018, much more of the state is in some sort of a drought mode, whether it's abnormally dry, moderate drought, severe drought, the whole state is kind of feeling like it's heading into another drought scenario. And that's probably because we, in March of 2017, we actually got quite a bit of rain, and then this year we did not get so much. So to me, this isn't exactly unexpected, but it's just a little something we need to be aware of. Looking at temperature, I didn't give this a real good look, but it's looking like it's getting warmer. It is summer. That doesn't necessarily surprise me either. And actually, as far as overall precipitation, it looks like the forecast for July is a normal, which is pretty much zero. So
an equal chance of zero is zero.
Yeah. let's see. Oh, on the so that's all I have on climate. And I apologize for not having it on the screen and a better description, but Andrea will be back next month. Today was her birthday, so we'd let her have the day off.
Well, she's at the fair.
Yes, she is. Let's see.
Thank you for filling in with that.
Yeah. Let's see. Information items, Lopez Spillway Assessment Update. So I think in March, we had simply had what we call a request for proposals out, looking for somebody to bid on taking over that job of the assessment of the Lopez Spillway. We got the bids in, we reviewed them, and we chose GEI for our consultant. They had the best proposal, most qualified, we felt. We had a kickoff meeting last Thursday, and I believe that they will be on site. Right now they're doing what they call a desktop assessment. They look at all our information that we have already, like plans and previous studies, all that. They'll look at that first, and then they will be on site to actually do a physical inspection in the end of August, I believe. and we expect that the whole report should be completed by December. So we will know at that point if there's any recommendations, what they found, kind of what might happen there. So, and we're in communication with DSOD as well at this stage already.
And the spillway assessment, I mean, that really came out of the Oroville challenges, and
the
decision that we needed to look at spillways of dams around the state.
Exactly. And any dam that was high or medium priority, I think, or high risk, I think is maybe, I can't remember what they call priority.
Based on the population that was below the dam.
Yes. So we fell into that category, and as a result, we are required to we had to update our inundation maps for the dam and our terminal reservoir as well, and also do the spillway assessment for the main dam. So we've got all that underway, and things are moving along smoothly so far.
Very good. Any other questions? Okay. Then we'll move to the capital projects update.
All right. Let's see. Page 14 of your agenda packet has our Zone 3 projects update. You can see number 2 down on the list is the spillway assessment, and that's the update I just gave you. Actually, it says here, due to be completed February of 2019. The Lopez Dam and Terminal Dam hazard classification, that's the inundation map work that I mentioned. We've actually completed the inundation maps, and we've submitted them to DSOD, and we did that back in January per the requirements, but they have not... we have not heard back from them yet on whether or not they have approved or reviewed our inundation maps. And until they give us some kind of thumbs up or green light, we're not really supposed to go to step 2, which is submit our emergency action plans. But we do have our emergency action plans, and we're just waiting for some nod in order to submit those as well. So we're right on schedule with that.
So before you head to the next one, Jill, if I might,
yes,
Mr. Chair, for the emergency action plans, is that something when they do move forward and are either approved by DSOD, is that intended to be a rollout through Zone 3, or how is that going to be? Information is going to be shared with the appropriate community for either evacuation routes. I'm sure there's some portions of it that will be necessarily maintained. Internally, but is there a planned rollout for the public facing information?
Yeah, it'll go to our County Office of Emergency Services. OES will have those plans. DSOD would have the plans, as well as all, as far as I can tell, any emergency people that might be part of that, plan to address some emergency. And we can absolutely bring it to this, group here, so you can review it and see it and know where. I don't know exactly all the details that are in those emergency action plans, but absolutely they will be made public, I'm sure, in some way or another, either on the website that we have or maybe right here in this forum.
Okay. I wouldn't expect the inundation maps to change dramatically.
I would, yes. I have looked at them, and they're not in my. And I have not thoroughly looked at a comparison between what they were and now. And but just in general, looking at them, they are not significantly different.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of modeling and the technology that's available to, predict that kind of stuff is much better now than it was back in the early, or the late 60s when the dam was completed. So it's probably just, better modeling. We have better history. We know, we have much better mapping of the area. So
actually, though, I think that they updated the inundation models when they did the remediation project.
I did not see that.
Or maybe they just distributed. I remember, though, that there was some distribution of inundation maps. I had never seen them before, and, you know, we're in an area that would be affected, and so maybe they didn't update them, but they did distribute them to the public.
And I also seem to recall that it was more, maybe the inundation areas hadn't changed, but where the population affected by the inundations changed drastically from the 60s to today.
From the old maps, I don't remember if they were as detailed about regarding depths of the flow. And now we have a lot more information on, not only is it, there were several scenarios that we had to show. We had to do an inundation map if there was a catastrophic failure of the dam, and then we had to have an inundation map if it's just a spillway failure, and we have to have one now for the terminal reservoir, which we did not have before, for both of those cases, one for failure of the dam as well as a failure of the spillway. So we've actually done four different maps at this point.
And then action plans associated with each, I would presume.
Yes, and we already had action plans. This isn't new. It's more putting it into their format and updating them. So, let's see. The fault zone assessment at the dam's left abutment, we've completed. We had a consultant look into that to see what the situation was. There was some erosion. You can see it as you drive across the dam. It was on the right-hand side. And to most people, it doesn't look like anything major, but because it is near the abutment and there are faults, you know, nearby, we decided to have it re-looked at. And the results were that it's nothing significant. We do, and we should address it to some degree to get it to stop eroding, but it's not significant to the dam. So that was good news. We're still working on an equipment storage, although that may be a slightly lower priority as we move forward with some other things that are happening operationally in the water treatment plant, so some of our energy will be a little bit less there. We're working on safety upgrades, and we're also looking at the domestic and fire flow tanks that are at the water treatment plant. One of them's very old. One of them needs repairs, and so we're looking into, you know, what are our options on that. Let's see. We had an ammonia analyzer. That's a piece of equipment. We replaced one, and now we're replacing the second one. So that's all normal maintenance that we would need to do with aging equipment. So those things are to be expected, as is the last one, which says rebuild the membrane feed pumps. So, again, that's just normal maintenance and equipment repair. Coming up projects for this next year, we'll be doing a cathodic protection survey along the whole distribution line. That may or may not result in work that we need to do. The Lopez Water Treatment Plant leach field needs to be looked at and needs to be refurbished, so we're looking into options there. And we've also determined after the terminal dam's assessment of its condition after having done one at the main dam. And we realized that we really needed a little bit more geotechnical information for the terminal reservoir. There really is not a lot of geotech information there. So we're going to actually do some field investigations and then have the same consultant who did the assessment use that data to come up with, you know, some conclusions as to whether the stability of the terminal reservoir. And we've completed a lot of projects this year, our operations staff, as well as some larger projects. So we're happy with our outcome this year as far as all the things we were able to accomplish. And we're hoping we're going to move forward with more next year.
Just a quick question.
Sure. So thank you for the status on the completed projects as well. It's always good to see accomplishments, which is great. I do see on the upcoming projects there are two that are considered unbudgeted. So does that mean you're going to come back with a budget request for use of savings, or what's the process?
It's possible that, for example, there may be savings from other projects that are going to help fund those. For example, we had set aside a large sum of money to deal with the fault assessment, which turned out to be a minimal type of repair. So there's quite a bit of savings in that one that may be able to be used to help fund the leach field repair. And yes, if there is, for some reason, you know, we're not able to fund those critical items that say they're unbudgeted, we would come back to you and look for either maybe move a project to the following year if we think we can, and do something that feels more critical this year. So we do have some room without increasing this year's budget.
Okay.
We can either reprioritize that kind of thing.
Okay. And do you need any discussion or concurrence from us in order to accomplish those within the existing budget, or what would you be looking for from that perspective?
Yes, we would probably come back to you and say this is how we're reprioritizing the projects, absolutely. So you know what the changes we're recommending. And usually our finance, Christy Smith, who comes to the meetings, she has a good handle on all that, and she usually is one that guides us on what kind of money we have available, what will need to be done in order to make that happen.
Thanks. Have we seen any issues with corrosion or anything that might indicate the cathodic protection problems?
No, but we also have not done a survey.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes you just have to go out there and do, you know, actually look and make a good thorough review of all the locations to see if anything. But to date, no, we have not seen anything obvious.
Good. Okay, so more of a routine.
It's something you need to do like every 5 years, and
right.
Sometimes the things need to be repaired that are related to the cathodic protection. So,
very good. Any other questions or?
Nope.
Thank you again.
Okay.
And then item 8 is action items. I don't think we had any.
Nope, there are no action items. I just have an update for the section 9, which is action items that require Board of Supervisors action, subsequently required. I wanted to give you a quick update on the cloud seeding, and actually want to defer this for a more robust conversation about it next month. But the item was to go to the Board of Supervisors on June 23rd, and we actually decided to pull the item before taking it to the Board of Supervisors, as there was too many unanswered questions, and it would not have been a good discussion in front of the Board of Supervisors with so many questions regarding cloud seeding and its feasibility and various issues. So we'll be revisiting that over the next month, and we'll come back to you with our recommendation to you on how we can move forward and what the interest of Zone 3 is in pursuing, you know, what your position is more or less on cloud seeding next month.
Actually, the month after next.
That's right, in September.
Right.
I knew that.
Okay, then future agenda items.
Yeah, these are items that we kind of carry forward month to month. And sometimes we leave them on here just so we don't forget about them, not that we need to talk about them every single month. So I believe it was Jim Gehring who requested that Lopez Reservoir Safe Yield stay on the list. I'm not really sure what that concern is yet, so he's not here to speak on that, but that's why we're leaving that on. Cloud seeding. I believe maybe at the September meeting, I have heard that it's the desire of the group and at TAC as well to revisit the district designated reserves and what they're spent on. And back in 2016, I think it was March of 2016, we came to you with, there was a list of programs that you wanted to fund with using the district designated reserves, and one of them was the Carpenter Canyon, Carpenter Creek Bridge. There was these groundwater modeling study, and then there was the stormwater resources plan, and then there was another category which was like health and safety needs, which was kind of like a general. And so I think at this point you've funded the Carpenter Canyon. We funded the portion of the groundwater modeling that's related to Central Coast Blue. And on Tuesday, the portion that you decided to fund for the Five Cities Stormwater Resources Plan, the reimbursement agreement with City of Arroyo Grande went through.
And so we very much appreciate that, and thank you and everyone for the assistance with that. Much appreciated.
Yeah. So at this point, Zone 3 has kind of funded some of those major categories that we had talked about back in 2016. So at the TAC, there was discussion that we should probably revisit that and see what's next. Keeping in mind that, you know, we do have one large kind of unknown hanging out there, and that's the spillway assessment. So that's what that lasted. And then the revisions to the low reservoir response plan, I would anticipate possibly that in September, I'm hoping that we will be ready to bring our kind of a final draft of revisions to the plan, or the final plan that we've revised to your group for recommendation and review, et cetera. So we're working on that right now with TAC.
Very good. And then Jeff, you mentioned those unbudgeted items that we'll be coming back to at a future agenda. Any other comments on future agenda items, or? Okay. Committee member comments. John, any?
Nothing I can add.
Marcia?
We need to dominate the conversation.
We'll keep an eye on you next time. Marcia?
No.
Jeff?
Not really a comment, more of maybe a question. Is I see that we're down an OCSD member, Member Bernay, who I think, if I have heard correctly, has actually stepped down from the district. So I don't know who the alternate is from OCSD, because I also heard Mr. Coleman, I think that's his name, also stepped down, so I don't know if that was their alternate and if they have a plan, if the district has a plan to reallocate that.
Right. In communication with the Oceano CSD general manager, he indicated that by September he should have two new appointments that will need to go back to the Board of Supervisors. But they can sit until as kind of informational members until it actually goes before the board. So as soon as they get their recommendations and to sit on this group, we'll take that item quickly to the Board of Supervisors for approval, and sure, we'll all be staffed back up here at the advisor group.
Okay. Thank you.
Brian, any comments?
I guess it was a few months ago at a meeting when we were talking about, I think it was the inundation plan, the fact that we had to study that for the terminal reservoir, that I brought up the issue of, given the water treatment technology, do we even need the terminal reservoir now? and really studying the cost-benefit analysis of having, you know, continuing to operate the terminal reservoir, given the fact that it tends to have a big algae bloom in the summertime, which, as I understand it, really increases the treatment cost. And I don't know if that ever went anywhere, or if you, if Jill, you know enough about that yourself to make a comment about it.
Well, actually, we are working. One of the things, just, I do remember that discussion. We haven't gone in depth into looking into that as a solution. But as it relates to algae blooms, we get algae blooms in the main reservoir, and we get algae blooms in the terminal reservoir. And generally, they start in the main reservoir and make their way down to the terminal. So necessarily getting rid of the terminal reservoir doesn't solve that issue. It doesn't mean that there aren't other things that it could solve potentially by not having the terminal reservoir, but we are currently working on some solutions and for addressing these algae blooms on a more regular basis. That recently came up, and so we're looking at some options. But I have not. I would be happy to bring that to the TAC and just see.
I think it's worthy of discussion because, as I understand it, in a water treatment technology has really changed since the system was designed, and so something to take a look at.
I did hear secondhand that we're one of. There's only a few. Places that have what we call a terminal reservoir. Most reservoirs that are used for water supply do not have a terminal reservoir. So
even those that allow human contact with, right. I mean, because that's what originally drove the decision to have a terminal reservoir was because, you know, we allowed swimming in the main reservoir. The state mandate at the time was that you had to store the water in a terminal reservoir for at least 30 days after that. So,
correct.
Just seems like it could merit some further investigation.
I will be happy to bring that up at the TAC. See
Thank
where,
you.
Where we go with that.
Where all the smart people are.
Thank you for asking. And right. Kristen Barnett should be back at the next meeting, so...
Yes, and I had confirmation.
Things will be back to normal, or a little bit.
And I did get confirmation from Kristen Barnich as well as Jim Gehring that they were willing to take on the roles of chairman and vice chair. So we'll be set for next month, or September.
Next meeting month.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And our next regular meeting will be Thursday, September the 20th, September being the next month, September 20th, 6:30 p.m. at the City of Grover Beach Council Chambers. So, Jeff, thank you for hosting that one.
Sure.
And the agendas, of course, are online at slocountywater.org. So.
Yes, and it's possible that that'll be another topic. Some months down, I'm not sure when, but they are migrating to our new public works, to the new county website. Mm-hmm. So, but for now, that's still accurate.
Very good.
Thank you.
We have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
We're adjourned.